in the reading and cited the words of the Apostle Peter concerning the words of the Apostle Paul as part of that text read to us in worship. And he mentions that Paul wrote some letters, and there were some things difficult to understand, not impossible, but difficult. Some of the difficulties that we find in the study of the scripture is that we have part of the information concerning some episode, but not all the information. And so it is when we read in 2 Corinthians, one of Paul's letters, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that he would not want his readers in the church at Corinth to be uninformed, be unaware of the affliction which they experienced, that is, he and his co-workers experienced in Asia, Asia here being the Roman province. And it's the province in which the city of Ephesus was found. And many commentators think this was an experience that Paul had in the city of Ephesus. And some even are so confident about this experience, their understanding of what Paul's referring to, they cite Acts chapter 19. I'm not so confident about that. And there are others who joined with me in being a little uncertain about what Paul is referring to here. But that is not of any great consequence. Paul doesn't give us details about this experience. Rather, he does something quite important for us as Christians, very helpful to us in the experiences of life that we may have had or may have if we live long enough. And that is to give guidance to our faith in God and how we are to view some of the more difficult experiences of life. He said, we were weighed down exceedingly beyond our power, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Yea, we ourselves have had the sentence of death within ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us out of so great a death and will deliver, on whom we have set our hope that he will also still deliver us. You also helping together on our behalf by your supplication, that for the gift bestowed upon us by means of many thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. That's down through verse 11. We called your attention to this passage for a different reason a week or two ago to point out something that Paul says here about the significance of prayer, congregation praying, or some worker in the field, perhaps, like Paul, a missionary, an apostle of the faith. And Paul certainly had held that in great value and speaks of it in this passage. But I call your attention to the passage for another reason tonight. It has to do with this word affliction that Paul said they had experienced. And what he does here is to tell us the gravity of how that affliction was felt by him and his friend, his companions, that we were weighed down exceedingly beyond our power, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And he said it was like a death sentence within us. And we, in this experience, we learned something. He doesn't use the word learn here, but he speaks of it with that kind of framing of the matter, that we should not trust in ourselves, he said, but in God who raises the dead. We have called attention to this particular passage for some other reasons long ago, and we made the point then that Paul is not saying that they had never known about trusting in God in difficult experiences of life. That's not his point, certainly, because he had had to trust in God or rely upon God in other circumstances and trust in him. But this situation was so grave, it looked almost like the end game. And much was involved in this. There were things going on here that seemed to involve Paul's responsibilities, his work, and some things that he was vitally interested in. Other people are involved, always with Paul. He's thinking about other people in his service for God and helping those congregations and those people. And here it looks like the whole thing is about to collapse, and that this crisis that has come is going to bring all of this effort, all the hopes, and all that was left yet undone, that is just suddenly going to come to an end. And here's what Paul gained from this, and he and his co-workers, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God who raises the dead has the power over death itself. Is a God who can help us through the experiences of grave difficulties in life. Affliction. You know, Paul is not the first person in the Bible to write about this. And Paul, who certainly knew his Old Testament, knew that in the Old Testament there were those that wrote in a similar way about affliction. And so I want you to think with me for a few minutes about some verses found in one psalm. It's a long psalm, of course, Psalm 119. But Psalm 119 uses the word affliction several times. I'm going to read some of these passages with just a brief comment about them, because it seems to me that what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 1 is giving a new expression and a very powerful one in his own life. Some things were said by this psalmist. Psalm 119 and verse 50. This is my comfort, says the psalmist. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. Of course, the word quicken means to give renewed life, to revive, and other definitions could be given for it. But that's essentially its meaning. And then look at verse 52, the same stanza. I have remembered thine ordinances of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. So how does one find this comfort that is in a time of affliction? As he reads his Bible, he takes those words seriously that are meant for comfort, and he comforts himself. So this would help a person who might think that in a time of affliction that I'm not getting anything from the Bible. And this writer is saying by way of example here, but you can. There's a way you can do that. Pay attention to what God is saying. Listen to its relevance to your situation in life. God's not wasting word. He has something to say that will help you. So listen to them. Take those words seriously. They're meant for your comfort. God wants you to be comforted. Then in verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Imagine that, thinking about the commandments of God as being something that's worth singing about. Well, they are, because they guide us into what's truly life and the experience of all that's good in life. And so we're thankful for those commandments, and they help us to avoid some of the things that Peter was talking about there in 2 Peter 3, the errors that lead people astray. So we think about the Word of God, and as we think about it and its value, it's something that gives us the happiness of singing, even, is what the writer means here. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have observed thy law. Verse 55. So in times of affliction, a person may find it difficult to sleep. Restlessness causes one to stay awake. And what can you do then? You need to sleep. You need to rest. Well, you can think about God, this writer says. You can think about the Lord. Think about what he provides, his love for you, and the assurances of that in his word. And I think that you'll find if you make that a habit in times of affliction, whatever may be the reason for the affliction, that it will help the mind to rest, and that will lead for greater rest for the body. Now, turn to verse 67. This past week, Mark Lindley had a very fine article in the newspaper. I always enjoy reading his articles. And he was writing about an exhortation to give thanks. He cited the words of the Apostle Paul, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. And he cites here points that Paul makes in that passage. I'm going to read just a small part of this because it is something that coincides with what we're looking at in Psalm 119 tonight. So he points out that David says, give thanks in everything. Notice that the scripture does not say we should be thankful for all things, but in everything. It would be unreasonable to expect Christians to be thankful for sickness, disease, suffering, and death. However, Christians can be thankful in these things. Even while suffering trials and heavy burdens, Christians can be thankful to God for his presence, his strength, his comfort, and his guidance. It is not sufficient, therefore, for Christians to be thankful for good times or in good times. God's people should be thankful at all times and in all circumstances of life. Well, of course, that's absolutely right, and it's good to be reminded of that and the emphasis of what Paul wrote there in 1 Thessalonians 5 about giving thanks in everything. And so here the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I observe thy word. Before I was afflicted. Here's the before and the after. So you put up two pictures of a person's soul. Here's my soul before I was going astray. Here's the line between that picture and now. I was afflicted. Now, he says, I observe your word. So is he saying that the affliction was the power that saved his soul? No, but he can put his finger on that affliction, that experience, whatever it was, and can say that that became, for me, a turning point in life. Now let's add something to that. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statute. Had he never heard God's statutes before that? Sure he had. Did he not have any knowledge of what God commanded in those statutes? Sure he did. But what he's talking about here is something that we experience in Christian growth, as was brought to our attention in the reading tonight. That as we grow as Christians, we come to see what God has commanded or taught us with more insight, with better understanding. And one way that happens is that we live by what he said. And as we live by his words, as those words become a part of us in our very system of our being and our spirit, and we live by them, we learn them. We're learning them now at a level we did not learn them before. You can teach a small child to answer the question, how can a sinner be saved? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You can teach a four-year-old child to repeat that. Does he or she really understand that? I'll let you answer the question. But later, he or she will. You know what? After a person does that, becomes a child of God, studies the Bible for years, that individual will understand those things far, far better. The more he studies the meaning of faith and repentance, and the significance of baptism, and what it means to confess Christ. So this person is talking about affliction that's experienced here. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. So then what is the power that brought about this change in his life? It's not the experience of the affliction, but it's how he responded to it. He responded to God rightly. And as a result of going through this affliction, he began to think more seriously about his own life. And he turned toward God and made some changes. Look back at verse 59. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet to thy testimony. I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandment. Oh yes, this happens in the lives of Christians. You may know of some lives in which this has happened. They were already believing people, are already people who took seriously, to some degree, their responsibilities as Christians. But they went through some experience in life, like Paul did in Asia. And for them, it meant the necessity to make some changes in their lives. And that became evident. And they were thankful to God for what they had experienced, and God gave them opportunity to respond to it. God was the power that helped them. But the seriousness of the affliction caused them to think seriously about their souls. There are other passages like that that could be cited here, but I need to move on and call attention to some other things. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Here is a spirit that is going to lead to profitable results in that individual's life. Because this is the opposite of the spirit that resents God and bitterly looks at God because of some bad experience that has come to one's life. And this individual is not saying God directly caused this in his life, that God brought this bad. God, who watches over his children, knows what they experience, and God provides for those needs in that time. He doesn't make us immune to the bad things in life, even some things that are very sad. But God will not abandon us, and he is the one that we need in those things. In the Old Testament, Job is an example of that kind of experience, and the fact that even though he had certainly had some complaints and many things he did not understand, it never occurred to him to give up on God and to think that he could find help anywhere else but with God. And so the psalmist here knows that God is faithful, and his faithfulness is seen even in our experience of affliction. They can turn out for our good. So he prays for help in this. Let I pray thee, thy loving kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word, thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. And then verse 92, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I never will forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quicken me, revive me, renew me. When he says perished, we're not taking the mean here that I would have died, that is literally died. But he's talking about his soul, that he would have perished in his soul unless he had held on to God's word. And that is one of the great blessings that will not fail us, because God will not fail us. His word will not fail us in the time of our need. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Let's add to that verse 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Both of these passages are within stanzas that are talking about reliance on the Lord and his word, not as some new thing that is experienced and that one turns to in a time of affliction. But this is affliction that is experienced by people who already belong to God and believe in him, like Paul and his co-workers, like this psalmist. So both of these stanzas are full of words of faith in God and his word. For instance, 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And then in verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken thee, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. What these stanzas are saying in this psalm is, now that I'm going through the experience of affliction, I can rely on what I've always relied on, and that's God and his word. So I want to go back then to 2 Corinthians and to Paul, our brother, the Apostle Paul. And I want to go this time to chapter 12. And he has this thorn in the flesh, and he makes his appeal to God, and God answers him, and he says that My grace is sufficient for you. That's one of the great understatements in the Bible. It comes from the Lord himself. My grace is sufficient for you. My power, says the Lord to Paul, my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in the persecutions, the distresses, for Christ's sake. For then, when I am weak, I am made strong. As Paul saying, I enjoy being persecuted. It feels good to take a good beating sometimes, to be publicly humiliated, have your clothes stripped off of you, be made fun of. Does that feel good? Paul saying, I really enjoy that. Notice what he says. That's not what he says at all. He said, I take pleasure in this for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. This is what he takes pleasure in, that through his weakness, power of Christ will be manifested for the glory of Christ and for the good of the work of Christ. That's what he takes pleasure in. And when we experience afflictions in our lives as Christians, that is what we can find pleasure in. Not in the experience of the affliction itself, but rather in how it may serve God, not only for our good, but for the good of others and the good of God's work, if we, like Paul and like the psalmist, respond rightly to it by continued faith in God. Then we will find, even in the experience of afflictions, God's blessings. Sometimes we find some of his greatest blessings, or we come to know them in a way we did not know them before. If you're not yet a Christian, would you not want to serve such a God who provides for every need in life? Become his child, let him watch over you and help you through all of life's difficulties. To do what a child can learn by rote, or what you can learn with understanding of the gospel, and respond to the true faith and obedience. Coming as now as we stand in service.